Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're starting a little late tonight. This is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
Hey, this is the Tornado, Tony Pennicale.
We got a whole couple hours here, short of 8 minutes, to talk about fight news, combat sports, all the good stuff going on. I didn't really pay too much attention to the boxing going on this weekend, but I did watch the UFC fights, which were pretty interesting. Probably the most interesting one, at least if you're going to follow what Joe Rogan says, was the last-second knockout, third round, by Rousseau, who was fighting a guy named Duffy, I think was his last name. But it was kind of like, not a big title fight or anything like that, of course. Nothing spectacular. Nobody thought it was going to be, like, a huge match, but it turned out to be pretty good. And third round, Rousseau just hits him with this overhand right out of nowhere, knocks the guy out, just to beat him the whole fight. And Joe Rogan said that it's the most amazing thing he's seen in 11 years of commentating, so it was that good. Then, obviously, the main event was Rampage versus Rashad Evans. And I was just talking to Tony about this. Rampage was the horse that I was backing, of course, and I told everybody to high heaven that he was going to win because of his experience. And it turned out that right before the fight, I left a comment on the Bleacher Report, and I said if Evans wins, it's going to be a very technical defensive fight. And it turned out that's really what it was, the first two rounds. But then the third round, somebody told Rampage, hey, you know, in his corner, somebody said, you need to knock this guy out. So he went out there and tear ass after Rashad had him on the ground and connected with a bunch of shots, more glancing blows than anything, but, you know, powerful shots. And then I think he even hurt Rashad's leg, but then for some reason he let him up and he backed off completely. And the announcers were even, like, getting pissed that he wasn't wading in for more because he had him hurt. He had him wobbled when he got back to his feet still from those punches on the ground. And so he just blew it right there in that moment. And he said after the fight that it was ring rust. But it just seems to be like something else was going on there. Like he didn't even want to fight anymore. Maybe it was conditioning, you know. Maybe he just could not throw another punch, but I still understand that he had the chance right there. He didn't take it. But ironically, when I was on that live radio show last week, the other show, somebody, the co-host there, Charity, I think her name was, she asked me, you know, well, don't you think that his movie thing is going to be a factor as taking all that time off? And I said, he just probably will jump right back into it. I think that was really the only difference because Rashad could be in shape to run around and, you know, fight his game, fight his fight, and then Rampage, when he put it all out there, didn't have the conditioning to keep it up. What can you do? Diego Sanchez also lost in a kind of surprising fight. John Hathaway was a very good technical fighter in that match and did a lot of boxing. And big controversy was the Nogueira fight. The guy stepped in last minute to fight Nogueira. Does a hell of a job. And the judge gives the decision to Nogueira just on his name. And that wasn't cool, but that was really the only stain on the whole freaking card. It's unfortunate. You know, he's obviously got a big Brazilian jiu-jitsu name. He's known worldwide, and he's a big UFC star, but that doesn't mean he's guaranteed the decision when he gets his ass kicked.
Right. Well, so. One thing I wanted to, I just wanted to touch point on. You were talking about the new Mr. T, pretty much. And you know what? That actually has some validity to it. Because if you remember back in 2005, 2006, when Antonio Tarver took that time off to film Rocky Balboa, and he bulked up to about 215, 220 pounds to play the part of Mason Dixon, and then he came back in his next fight, and he fought Bernard Hopkins at 175, and he was absolutely atrocious. That was before, and that didn't even coincide with the movie being released. I figure, I mean, the filming of Rocky Balboa, they did the Vegas fight scenes first, which were done in December and then the very, very, very first week of January. And then they moved to Philadelphia, which pretty much Tarver's part was pretty much done, except for, you know, a few parts here and there.
Speaking of Philadelphia, how's those fires?
Down 2-1, but still kicking. They're still kicking, Rich.
All
right. Still kicking. Now, yeah. I made a deal with another Bostonian friend of mine that I'll be pulling for the Celtics in the finals.
Oh, but he has to pull for the Flyers in return?
Yes.
Deal?
Yes. That's the deal.
Well, I'm going to steal this from somebody else, but I don't know if you heard about this big oil spill down there in the Gulf Coast there. But the latest attempt of blocking the pipe with a roll of Bounty paper towels failed today. Have you heard that?
No, I
didn't. I heard that on the radio yesterday. I had to repeat it. Bounty paper towels.
That's pretty good.
My mother at that stage with some of the shit they've tried, you know. So I just keep seeing it on the news. I can't believe this guy from PP said he should be a boxing promoter or something. The way he lies.
Oh no, I got kid. The thing with him doing that
top kill thing and then dumping mud on it, you know. He's on the news that morning, and right before I go to work, I'm watching the news, and the guy goes, "There is absolutely no oil content in what's coming out right now." I was like, yeah, right, dude. Are you on crack? The stuff was still bubbling up. It's like right on camera behind him. Like, there's no oil content in that.
It was a bubbling crude.
Yeah, right. But anyway, we had the UFC. Did you watch any boxing this weekend? What's going on with that? What boxing did we miss?
Well, let's see. Was anything big last weekend? Last weekend was Memorial Day weekend, and I don't think there were any major fights on the major networks. We do have some interesting stuff coming up this weekend, though. We got the big fight in Atlantic City, which I will not, unfortunately, I will not be able to make it down, unfortunately.
Isn't this the weekend the big Yankee Stadium fight?
Well, this is the weekend of the big Yankee Stadium fight, but there's also a fight. There's two fight cards locally tomorrow night, and I'm not going to be able to make either one of them.
What?
One of them's at the Philadelphia. I know, amazing, ain't it? One's at the Blue Horizon in Philadelphia. And if you can pull a box rec, you can run down all those fighters right now. They might be the and then there's a fight in Atlantic City tomorrow night between my boy Chuck Masaccio and Tony Ferrante, which should be a very good fight. Chuck was talking a lot of shit during the
Ferrante's been trying to get on our show, like he's 3 months behind.
You know, it was funny, because his girl, or his ex-girl, whatever she is, like, she actually, remember the night we, she was listening, I gave her a shout-out?
Right.
Yeah, she was, like, IMing me that night, like, book him on the show, book him on the show. I'm like, we booked him once, he didn't show. He wasn't there. We called him, like, twice. You know, he's SOL.
And then she just pops out of the blue, like, I just contacted her yesterday. And she's emailing me like, you know, he's ready to go. Just call him at this number. I'm like, what is this? Like, rearrange something?
She emailed you too?
But he just contacted me through Facebook, I think it was.
Tony, right?
About Tony, yeah. Trying to get Tony on the show.
But that's her name too.
Oh, I don't know what her name was. I just remember her trying to get Tony on the show again.
Yeah, because she's a mutual friend of ours. If I go on a page, I'll see, you know.
But it seemed like to me it was something where, like, you know, I had sent her some message like 3 months ago, and she's replying to it or something like that. I don't know. And she didn't attach the original message. It's just like she was lost in a time warp. Like, whenever I did ask her to get me Tony's information 3 months ago,
she finally got the other week,
the other day.
Well, she gave me his number the other week, and I was like, I never responded to it.
Anyway, we have a guest on tonight too. I forgot to mention. We have David George, who we were supposed to have last week. So stuff on this week. I actually did contact him a few hours ago. He's ready to go at 8:30, so there you have it. He's the promoter of the Combat Zone promotion, which I haven't heard a lot about, but I have heard of. And I know they've been around since we've been around, so it's not one of those fly-by-night type of groups. It's here today, gone tomorrow. So I'm dying to learn more about what they've got going on. I know they have this big, huge fight card going on up in New Hampshire that I'm going to on the 19th. And unfortunately, the folks down in Plymouth that I do some work for there on the side, they're also having a card on the 19th. And Pat Schultz is fighting a guy who's in his 40s. I think he's a war veteran. He's like an old airborne ranger guy. And he just got into MMA, and he's fighting Pat Schultz. And we get like a big rivalry going. Pat Schultz from The Ultimate Fighter. He was on that show briefly. All right. Well, I'm looking at the schedule here for boxing.
Yeah, look up for the two cars locally tomorrow. The one in Atlantic tomorrow night. So you have to, I don't think you can go under the look up the title fights. I think you have to look it up under the regular schedule for Friday night.
Friday night?
Friday night. It's
pick a country, any country. What do you want? We want Panama? You want to know what's going on in Panama? We got Irving Berry versus Roine Caballero. Irving Berry. This is for the vacant WBA International Featherweight title, the Panamanian Featherweight title, and the interim WBC Latino Featherweight title. Oh my. That's a good fight. Friday. We're still going on Friday. Are you sure these fights are on Friday?
There's a fight card in Philly, and there's a fight card in Atlantic City.
Anthony Ferrante versus Chuck Musashio. That's an
I know Tony's undefeated. He's got to be about 8-0 by now, and I know Chuck has one more.
Four knockouts. Chuck is 15-1 with two draws and five knockouts. And it's for the World Boxing Foundation light heavyweight title. One step above the machismo belt. A few steps. Also on that card is Mike Tiberi, 12-1 versus Brian Bernard, 8-6, two draws, four knockouts for Bernard, five for Tiberi, middleweight, and then all four rounders. And the fight you're gonna miss in Philly, you got Yusuf Mack fighting as the main event. He's fighting a scary looking dude because he's only got three initials, the TBA.
Yeah.
Watch out. Anyway, let's see what else we got. We've got to go into Saturday then.
Well, let me just do a quick preview. If you're still on that Philadelphia card, run down some of the cards because I'm sure I know a lot of those guys. I think my boy Dangerous Darryl's fighting. But let me just do a quick preview for the main event in Atlantic City on Friday night. We got the boxer versus the puncher here. Chuck Musashio is definitely the consummate boxer. He's a tall guy. He's got good leg movement, long reach, and a good jab. He's not much of a puncher, but he's got a decent right hand. Never had much of a long push from when I was training him, but he's pretty much a straight shooter. Ferrante is, he's more of a plodding type guy. You know, he's not really fast on his feet, and he likes to look for his big right hand. Everything he's got comes from his right hand. He's like, you know, kind of like a Rocky Graziano type guy, not fast. The one thing I think is going to tip the scale in Chuck's favor is Ferrante's a little easier to hit. He is very offensive. Well, I remember watching a couple of his fights where he was hit pretty much with left hooks and jabs from the outside. And every time I've seen him fight, even in times that he's won, he's won all of his fights, actually, he's always swelled up and he's always shown visible markings around his eyes. And I think that's what's going to enable Chuck to take that fight tomorrow. He's going to box from the outside, and he's going to use his jab, he's going to use his reach, he's going to use his speed, and he's going to hit the slower guy at will. Poirier will land some punches, and they will be hard punches. He's a bigger puncher. But I think in the end, Chuck's more experience and his faster hand is going to lead him to a stoppage around the 6th or 7th round.
All right. Is there odds in Chuck's favor or what?
I'm not sure because, it's not a huge fight. I know that girl that Tony, the one that emailed you, was asking me if I was going to write one of my previews on it. Yeah. And I said, well, Tony, I usually write those for the really, really big fights. And I said, this one's kind of hard because, granted, I am, more favored towards Chuck. I mean, I trained the guy. I've known him for 12 years. So obviously I'm pulling for him to win. But I said, it's also kind of hard. Like, when I write these big, matchups for, like, Pacquiao and Cotto or Mosley and Mayweather, these are guys that have had a lot of fights and a lot of TV fights where you have a lot of chances to see him. How can I rate the three best performances for a guy that's only had 9 fights? Especially with my time constraints, I would love to be, like, when I was at my old job and we were kind of slow, I used to write half my articles sitting at my desk at work. Shit, my desk at work now is so disarrayed with all these papers coming in that now we know why they call you the tornado. Ha, 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 ha.
That's funny. Anyway, we got fights on Saturday. There's a big belt on the line from Turkey. These fights are going on. 12-round welterweight fight for a belt I'd never heard of. Get this. It's Selçuk Aydın, who's 19-0 with 15 knockouts, versus Ayunups Dan Ayon, who's 26-0 with 14 knockouts, and they're fighting for the WBC silver welterweight title. So it's not the gold belt, it's the silver. Like it's the Olympics because they're in Turkey. Let's see. Also, we got the big New York Yankee Stadium fight.
Very big fight there. I was actually reading an article. I posted it online. It was one of my boxing connections. Put stuff on Facebook, and the guy posted something where a very prominent boxing writer is actually thinking Foreman is going to win this and handily.
Really? Undefeated. He is a very technical type of guy who Cotto hasn't really faced in a while. He's kind of gotten beaten up.
Here's where it's funny, because I can see this fight going in a couple of different directions. Cotto, he's not as fast as he used to be. He's not as young as he used to be. And two of his last three fights were very grueling affairs. His losses to Pacquiao and Margarito. Sandwiched in between that was a whitewash of a guy named Michael Jennings. Now, here's where it gets kind of funny, because you look at it like this. Okay. How much could have I left? And he's fighting a guy that is bigger, the guy's taller, and the guy's got great movement. He's not much of a puncher, but he uses his legs a lot. Is Cotto going to be able to keep up with that guy's pace for 12 rounds? Now you flip the other end. This guy does not have the punching power that guys like Pacquiao and the loaded-gloved Margarito do. So now it's like Cotto can walk in kind of without fear. So you either going to have one of two scenarios. Either Foreman uses his legs and Cotto can't catch up to him. He's not the same Cotto he used to be. Or you have a replay of the fight of a couple of years ago when Cotto beat Paulie Malignaggi. And, Malignaggi was a mover, a boxer, very fast, not much of a puncher. Cotto walked right through him, and he knocked him down, beat him by decision.
Wow. Are you going to talk bad about the Tijuana tornado like that?
Hey, he disgraced my name. He disgraced the good name of the tornado.
I know you write letters to his fan club every day.
Yeah, I'm writing letters.
The number one, petition signature to get him reacquainted with boxing.
Well, I wrote a petition signature to get him to drop my name. He can be the Tijuana Tumbleweed for all I care.
That's what he should be now. Because he's only going to be fighting in Tijuana. Anyway, other than that fight, the main fight there where Yuri is undefeated, he's 28-0. He's only got 8 knockouts, like I said, so he's not a power puncher. Kodo's got 27 knockouts to his 34 wins, but he's both of his losses, so as you said, recently in knockout losses, so he's kind of
knockout losses.
He's kind of looking for a big win, and he's going against a guy that's doesn't have a lot of potential to knock him out. Doesn't mean he couldn't knock him out, and it doesn't mean he couldn't give him a good fight, but it's probably going to be an easier fight for him than the last. Let's just put it that way. Also on the card, though, are a couple good 10-round fights, like no weights. Pavel Volak, 26-1 with 17 knockouts. Well, I don't think he's fought in the United States that much, if I remember correctly. Anyway, he's fighting James Moore, who's 17-2 with 10 knockouts. And also, somebody's always got to go at light middleweight. And another 10-rounder for the NABF light middleweight title, we got Vains Matarossian, 27-0 with 17 knockouts, versus Joe Green, 22-0 with 14 knockouts. And that one should be interesting, I think. Also, we got Tommy Raynone, who's from New York, I believe. I think it was one of my first interviews way back when on that card.
Yeah, they call him the Razor. I've seen him play a few times. Down in the Blue Horizon.
And by the way, I was wrong about Volak. He's always fought in the United States. His nickname is the Raging Bull. He was born in Poland. He fights in the United States. New Jersey, a lot. Anyway, so that's pretty much all the big fights that we have time to discuss before we get David George on the phone here, the Combat Zone promoter. Let's look him up here. And the big fight up there in New Hampshire is going to be in Guilford, New Hampshire. That's it's going to be Combat Zone 33, which my 33rd birthday will be in October, so I remember. And of course, it was number 33. Well, this is their 33rd show, so it'll be a good interview.
Hi, you've reached Dave George and also the voicemail of Combat Zone. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Try again. He promised me he's going to be ready. We're 2 minutes late. Hope he doesn't hold it against us.
Hi, you've reached Dave George and also the voicemail of Combat Zone. This is the message.
Feeling some deja vu going on here. Did we do this last week?
Yeah, right. Hold on, phone, Steve.
Oh, we'll try again in a minute. Hector Camacho Jr. is fighting Danny Dalton this weekend.
I hope he gets beat like his father did.
In Guyana. He's already 51-3.
Yeah, he pulled off stiff.
28 knockouts and one draw. Fighting Danny Dalton, who's 16-8 with one draw and 11 knockouts of his own. And he's the main event on a card with two women fights. One at heavyweight between Gwendolyn O'Neill, 14-6 with one draw, seven knockouts. and Veronica Blackman, who's 3-4. It's for the vacant WBA Women's International Boxing Association heavyweight title and the Global Boxing Union female heavyweight title. Then the Women's Boxing International Boxing Association bantamweight title is on the line between Shondell Alfred, 11-5, 3 knockouts, and Corrine Van Rick de Groot, 1-1. No, 11-1, sorry. 5 knockouts. Elton Dari is also on that card. I've seen him fight personally. He's a pretty scrappy kid for a guy who's got a 4-5 record. Only one knockout at bantamweight. He's fighting Orlando Rogers, who's 3-8. Not a big fight, but just because I see him fight, I figured I'd mention it. Steve Cunningham is fighting this weekend in Germany.
Fight the title, yeah. Champ again in 10.
22-2, never been knocked out. He's got 11 knockouts of his own. Fighting Troy Ross.
Troy Ross is really tough. That's going to be a really tough fight. He's a pretty good bunker.
It's a pretty even fight as far as, you know, numbers go anyway. The records are pretty even.
Did you get the article from Rio previewing it?
Yeah, I get all those now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I still haven't sent it to you.
We also have Sebastian Sylvester, 33-3, with 16 knockouts, been knocked out twice himself, fighting Roman Karmazin, who's 40-3.
Roman Karmazin?
One draw. What was that?
The Roman Maiden L. Karmazin?
Oh. The Rain Man is coming out. He's got the nicknames.
No.
All right. One more chance for David.
Call Steve.
Steve.
Steve will do the show. I talked to him.
Hi, hey, Steve. George, call the voicemail of Combat Zone. Is there a message? Make it back as soon as possible. Thank you. Bye.
What? What?
Didn't even ring that time. Give me a ring. There we go.
You still have Steve's number, call him.
I don't know.
Hello?
David.
Yes.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
This is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron, and I'm on the line with Tony the Tornado.
From Yo. Finn. How you doing? Doing good. How you doing?
Good.
So you got this big event coming up on June 19th. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the promotion itself and this event coming up. It's Combat Zone 33, right?
Yeah, this is Combat Zone 33. We've held the last 7 shows, actually, at Rockingham Park in Salem. Originally, we're down in Mass. Then we came down to New Hampshire. And now we're headed further up north from Laconia Bike Week, just the day before Father's Day, at the end of the week. The end of Bike Week at the Meadowbrook U.S. Cellular Pavilion. And it's a big venue, nice place. I mean, capacity 6,000 people. Miller Lite is the title sponsor for the show. We got 15 bouts right now. So we got 9 amateur and, you know, six pro fights right now.
Right. Now with the Massachusetts situation being up in the air with the amateurs, is that good to have some kind of foundation in New Hampshire so you don't have to deal with that?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, we're in New Hampshire. When we do the shows in Salem, you know, it's right on the line of Mass, so it's real easy for Massachusetts people to come down, which works out. A lot of people call for amateurs. I mean, the amateurs are getting pretty big everywhere. And in the state of New Hampshire, you have to fight at least 3 times amateur before you can even go pro, so.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Right. Okay. So, and that rule just changed about, actually, that was maybe 7-8 months ago. That's it.
Right. I was just at a KHFX event this last Friday, and it was the first time I'd seen the commissioners really that close at a small show. And they were really up everybody's ass about everything.
Yeah, I heard that. I haven't been back to Mass. Like I said, we were down. When I purchased the company, Combat Zone, it's actually, it used to be a different owner. It's under new management now, and it was Combat Zone 26, and it was down in Massachusetts, and we brought it down this way into New Hampshire, so.
Yeah,
so maybe we'll go back to Mass. I'm not sure. We'll wait and see what happens so they can figure out exactly what they're doing.
And what do you think of the whole scene up there in New Hampshire? I mean, that's obviously you got Manchester. It's pretty big area.
Salem, Manchester, Concord, New Hampshire. We get a lot of people even come all the way down to Salem from Maine. Maine, I mean, they just legalized the sport in Maine. They haven't, again, they're putting their commission together. They haven't done anything, but, you know, we got busloads of people come down from Maine. So it's great.
And how did you get into it in that place? Were you a fight fan in the beginning and just kind of found out?
A little more than a fight fan. I was a hockey player, and I got into – I did it for the adrenaline. I was a hockey player. I wanted to try it out, so I actually had three fights. I trained for a while, and I actually had three professionals. I didn't take any amateurs, and I did all right. My last fight, I had actually 2-1. My last fight was against Dan Lauzon. In the UFC. So, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's you know, even though I lost, still pretty cool to say.
Mm-hmm.
So then I ended up, then I purchased the company off the owner.
Cool. So you've always been in New Hampshire? You haven't done any Massachusetts shows since you bought it?
Right. I did two in Massachusetts down in Revere at Club Lido, and then I struck a deal with Rockingham Park, which is in Salem, and now we're headed up to, Guilford, New Hampshire, where Meadowbrook is.
Right. I used to actually be the town reporter for Guilford, New Hampshire, for the Laconia Citizen when I was living up there for a couple of years, so very familiar.
Now, do you still work with them at all?
Yeah, the Meadowbrook every year. They used to have the big banquet and everything and invite me. I used to actually, I went overboard with the newspaper, and every time there was an act there, I was trying to get information and either do an interview or go to it live, and I did too many articles for the paper.
Do you plan on attending coming down for this event?
Oh yeah, hell yeah! I got a friend up there actually who runs a marina, the marina right there at Weir's Beach. So I've been dying to get up there and hang out with him. He'll get me a boat for the day and everything. So making a whole weekend out of it.
All right, so you know the potential then that this show has to be then.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen 311 there was the best show I've ever seen there at Meadowbrook.
It's a hell of a venue. I mean, it's a hell of a venue. The way they're pulling it out with, you know, we have a few VIP tables that are on the stage looking down with the, you know, the giant projecting screens on the side viewing, and just the whole atmosphere. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and everything is set up perfectly. I mean, you got the outdoors, but it's also got the roof, so it makes a big difference having that acoustically. You know, you can hear everything better, and it's just tremendous. I haven't seen it in years either. I haven't seen it in like 5 years.
So we have some decent guys coming down too. I mean, we have UFC veteran Josh Heavy Hendricks, who just lost in UFC 100 against Gabe Gonzalez. Calvin Cater. We got, Carlos Lovato, who used to be a professional boxer. We got some pretty decent names coming. You know, from New Hampshire, Luis Rodriguez is another great 155-pounder we have on the card. Jared Dumais, he's fighting a kid who's 5-0. So we got a stacked card. We got some really good up-and-coming amateurs. You know, a lot of local people. We're bringing a lot of people in, too, from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
And it's biking. So it's a good draw for the tourists, right?
Yeah, we hope so.
I've been up there a couple times for Bike Week, and it's pretty intense up there.
So, and Frank, you're probably familiar with Frank with the Hawk Radio. Frank is actually the ring announcer for this event.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so he'll be up there.
And what made you pick Meadowbrook? Did you end up talking to the people that run it at a concert or something?
No, I actually threw somebody who actually, it was actually an interesting story. Somebody who's actually been to a few Combat Zone shows who lives in that area,
actually contacted me through the website and said, have you ever thought about coming up this way? So we set up a meeting with Meadowbrook and kind of just took it from there, and it just put it all together.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah, because of that place being there and me being getting the draw of being a reporter there, I got to interview a lot of interesting people. I got Alice Cooper twice. I interviewed him. I got Greg Allman from the Allman Brothers.
Okay.
I had a guitarist from Boston. I mean, it was just all these acts that are kind of considered washed up now, but they're still touring.
Hey, Rich, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you two questions. Number one was, when you interviewed Alice Cooper, did he have his damn snake with him? And I hope not. And
no,
second of all,
the show when they told us that they bash his head against the wall before they bring him out there to make sure he doesn't bite.
Oh, nice. And the other question I have is, you said you interviewed a guitarist from Boston. Was that a guitarist from the actual group Boston, or just a guitarist from the city of Boston?
The group. The group.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
You've interviewed a few of these fighters for this event already, correct? You had Will Santiago, Jared Dumas, and Calvin Cater, right?
Calvin we had on the show, yeah, just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And, you know, if they fought anywhere in Massachusetts, they've probably seen him or, you know, at least looked at their records at some point, you know, because they've been in some kind of fight around here that I get PR on. And I get PR on just about every fight circuit, so I try to print whatever I get. Your stuff just kind of came up through Jimmy. Jimmy's just trying to hook me up with everything. He even gave
Jimmy
me
James.
A...
Jimmy James.
Contour mouse here that I'm still trying to get used to. It's kind of funny. But, basically, if there's people that have come down from New Hampshire to do Massachusetts events or vice versa, you know, I've probably heard their names before or know about them. I think I saw a guy, Dan Bunnell. Was he on one of your cards? You know him?
Dan Bunnell had fought mostly for a different promotion, and I tried Dan for one show in broke free from the promotion where he was at, and unfortunately his fight got scratched. The swine flu was going around. He showed up, and I guess he said he had the flu and he couldn't fight. He showed up to weigh-ins, weighed in, made weight, all ready to go, showed up the day of the fight, and had to call it, you know, throw in the towel right there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of solid.
So what kind of team do you have put together for these events, and what have you done differently since you took it over?
Well, there's actually not a whole bunch. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, Lynn Snearson, great lady, does a lot of PR for me down in this area. The team over at Rockingham Park is just a lot of, you know, we get a lot done. Everything goes really smooth just with, you know, marketing everything. Same thing with Meadowbrook. Since we've been dealing with Meadowbrook, everything's been going really good. I have a few people that do some things on my end, just, you know, odds and ends. But we're going to hit it really hard. We're using, you know, Rock 101. We're using, you know, doing Comcast spots on Spike TV. We're doing WAAF, the Hawk Radio, the Game Radio, AM. So we're hitting it pretty hard. So just to reach out to the public and let them know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean,
without the fighters and the fans, this doesn't exist.
Right. Well, I mean, and surprisingly enough, I mean, I've been a bouncer during the bike weeks, too, up there at a bar. And the bikers really aren't violent people.
No, they're not. They just look like
For the most part, I mean, they just like to ride around. Most of them, that go to the bike week. But, you know, the one time I had a bar brawl was a bunch of guys that came in for a bachelor party, so... And it had nothing to do with bike week. It was like in the middle of November.
Yeah, bikers just want to drink beer and hang out and have a good time.
Yeah, the last thing they want to do when they go to a different state is get in trouble with the law, so...
Right, yeah.
So if they are bad guys, they're trying to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it'll be a great show, and it's good timing. It's hopefully going to be a great weekend for the outdoors. But either way, I was just saying that it's got that roof there, which is great for acoustic.
Yeah, I don't even think, weather's not even going to get that weather. You know?
Yeah.
The way that building is set up, great.
Yeah, I've always liked going to shows there. And when I went to the 311 show, the whole staff there really got into it. I mean, they brought the water hoses out. they took all the seats out of from the beginning, floor level near the stage, so that people could get set up like a huge mosh pit or whatever, do whatever they wanted. They were spraying people with the hose, and they had people passed up to the front, and then the security would take them off from the people getting passed up. They'd take them off. They let them walk back into the crowd, and they'd do it again. It was great. And the article that I wrote about it, actually, some 60-year-old guy called me on the next day.
Drunkly.
Read it in the paper, and he said, geez, you know, I don't even know who this 311 band is, but I read your article, and I loved it. So this is one of my best compliments I ever got as a writer when I was working for the newspaper up there. And I really love that place. So it's going to be interesting to see a fight in it. This is probably their first fighting event there, right?
First fighting event.
So it's going to be a new thing for them, too.
Right, yeah. So they're hanging off on the concert. They wanted to try something different, and, you know, I think...
Hey, if we can bring in money, I mean, that's all that matters.
What's that?
I said, if they can bring in money and sell some tickets, that's all that matters.
Yeah, well, fighters come first. You got to take care of them guys first, no matter what.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. No, I think it should be a good show.
And how have you been...
Everybody stays healthy and, you know, makes weight.
Right. How have you been getting guys for your promotion?
Yeah.
How do you recruit guys to get into your promotion in the first place?
Well, I have a pretty good relationship with a lot of different, you know, schools, camps, managers, and, you know, just kind of doing this, you know, kind of built a relationship with some of these guys. I mean, I saw them at some of the gyms. I still work out with some of them, you know, every now and then. So you just kind of, you know, you kind of get to know the players and stuff, and just some of them contact me. You know, they know who we are. They'll contact me, and mostly, you know, I have a relationship through, you know, different schools and managers.
Sounds like we're losing you. You still there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, still here.
Oh, there you are. You were fading on us, yeah, like you were off in space.
Well, the one question I was going to ask, and this kind of happened, you mentioned this at the start of when we first got you on, was you started off as a hockey player. And what was the one thing that actually caught my mind about that was... one guy that I teamed with on a boxing team back about 13 years ago, he came out for the boxing team one day at my college, and he looked like he couldn't lick a stamp. You know, he was about 5'8", 130 pounds, looked all of 12 years old, skinny arms, and we're like, this kid's going to get slaughtered. And we're like, well, why are you coming out for the boxing team? He goes, well, I played ice hockey for years and looking for a change. We're like, you played ice hockey at 130 pounds? Yeah. We're like, well, we'll give you a shot, see how you turn out. Turned out to be a four-time All-American, national champion. He whipped a lot of guys' ass. I sparred him. I outweighed him by about 45 pounds. And if I didn't fight my hardest, you know, I would have been leaving that sparring session with some lumps. And there was another hockey player that, well, you know, threw his hand in pro boxing. He was based out of Philadelphia. He was a minor league player. He never broke the NHL, but his name was Frank the Animal Bialowis. And he was known as like a hockey goon in the minor leagues. And he actually had a couple pro fights. I think he ended up like 2-1 or something like that. But I didn't really get to know him personally. But the guy that used to make all my trunks and all my equipment and my robes was doing the tailoring for him, making all his stuff. Because I would go down there and he would show me photos of what he did, and he'd have like the Philadelphia Phantoms, the minor league affiliate. He'd have like their logo on the guy's trunks and the colors and everything. So that was kind of cool. Now, being a hockey player, when you first started going into, regular, combat sports, did you have trouble adjusting to the style?
Not really. It always felt natural to me. I mean, I was a pretty rough hockey player. I mean, I was kind of always looking for it. There was never a season that I didn't, make it when it wasn't a big fight. So, I definitely was off, I had to put a lot where it was a little different. You get used to all the footwork and everything. It was different, but it all kind of came a little natural to me. I think that's why I loved it so much.
Yeah, and I think the reason I was asking that is we were talking to Butterbean a few weeks ago, and he was supposed to have an exhibition with a former hockey tough man, and we're like, Butterbean, don't let him try to pull the jersey over your head. That's what we were saying. He goes, well, I'm not wearing a jersey, but hopefully he won't try to give me a titty twister in there. But I know a lot of times, because I watch a lot of hockey, my team's in the NHL finals right now, so I'm kind of excited. And a lot of times you get guys brawling, and they try to get real in close with each other, and a lot of times you'll see it. They try to pull the jerseys up and get a good, handle on them. Is that, was that an adjustment you had to make when there was, you couldn't really grab onto something as much?
Yeah, I guess. I really never really thought about it, about making that adjustment. You just kind of knew that you couldn't grab. Hockey's real aggressive, so I think it's just, the aggressive, once I started training, it was just a lot more kind of slow down and just really learn the moves and, the fundamentals of it and try to just break it all down. I mean, hockey, it's just a little more wild, it's aggressive, but it's just kind of wild and brawling. But that's why I got into the fight. It was more of the adrenaline. That's why I wanted to try it. I wasn't trying to really make a career out of fighting.
Think about hockey, too. It's kind of crazy. The speed of the hits. You can run across the cage and hit somebody, but there's nothing like skating into somebody at full
skating.
Speed and laying a hit on. Like that McSorley a few years back, the elbow on the guy from the Canadians. It was like,
I remember McSorley hit Donald Brashear with his hockey stick like he was hitting a baseball.
Yeah, a couple incidents.
Yeah,
be rough. Actually, there was a kid in my high school, in Quincy High School, who got killed in a hockey game. And it was just a matter of he got hit in the heart. His name was Tim Messing. And Matt Messing. He got hit by a check from a North Quincy player in the Quincy North Quincy game, and his heart stopped right on the ice. Wrong hit, wrong time. That's all.
Did it like rupture his aorta, or did it damage one of the vessels, or what did it do? How did it do that?
Oh, it's kind of like a defibrillator, like when it shocks your heart, the motion. It was like a defibrillator in reverse. It just, he got hit at just the right time between beats, and it just shut down the heart for a second, and it was a second too long because it didn't click back in, until the medics got there, and by that time it was too late.
Wow.
They just thought he was knocked out or something, but he was dead right there on the ice, pretty much. Heart stopped.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy,
That's so cool to scary.
Pretty sure I heard that same story.
Yeah, it was big news, because the guy, his father was a bigwig for the Herald. He was like one of the publishers. Big guy on the publishing team for the Herald, so it was all over the news when it happened. And the other kid at one time, they thought was going to commit suicide because he laid the hit on him.
Yeah, the poor kid, right? How do you look like that? I'm pissed off. Just clean a sweat and a freak accident like that.
But there hasn't been a hit yet. Of all the fights they've had worldwide, there hasn't been a sanctioned... Well, there's been one sanctioned death in a sanctioned fight, but the guy died like 3 weeks later. It wasn't like right after the fight.
Well, keep knocking on wood, though. Keep knocking on wood. Because that's the one thing they say. No matter what, I mean, no matter what sport it is. I mean, obviously boxing, because there's been a number of fatalities in the sport of boxing. Now we just mentioned the one that the kid that got killed in the hockey game, and you said the kid that later checked was suicidal for a while out of guilt. You know, they always say a competitor is never the same. I was talking to just a few weeks ago, because the one kid out of Philly that was in a fight back in November, and his opponent, died after the fight. It was a very competitive fight. The kid died, and the kid from Philly had his first fight since just a week or two ago. And I didn't get to see it. It was in Atlantic City. And they said he was rusty, which is okay, expected after a good six-month hiatus. But, I mean, they didn't say he's tentative. I mean, that's the one thing I would want to notice. Because a guy like Ray Boom Boom Mancini was never the same. He was very tentative after that. A guy like Gabriel Ruelas was never the same. Gabriel Ruelas came out and said he saw his opponent in the ring with him, smirking at him, before he got knocked out in his next fight. And as I say, they said once that happens, the guy is never the same.
Anyway, David, I was just kind of curious, what do you think about the whole sport of MMA as it's growing right now and the region, especially with Massachusetts?
You broke up a little bit. What was that?
I was just curious what you think about the whole scene of MMA right now and locally as well, with Massachusetts just getting regulated.
I think it's great. Get everybody involved. It's a hell of a sport. I think everybody should get involved. It's, a lot of younger kids are starting to, if you show up at these gyms, work out. I think it's good. I think it's a great sport. And, hopefully Massachusetts, it's new for them. So hopefully they get, everything together and can make it, make it a little easier. Because New Hampshire's great. New Hampshire, the whole commission, they're easy guys to work with, the whole commission. So it goes really smooth. So hopefully Massachusetts can do the same. And because I know the UFC is trying to come down in August, so they're probably gearing towards, taking care of those guys.
Right. Yeah, that show is going to be pretty big, I think.
Yeah, at the TD Bank North there.
The one that they just had out in Worcester there that Butterbean promoted was pretty big. And that was that place only holds 13,000 people, and it was about half full. So maybe about 6,000 people max were there at the event.
Okay.
And it was Worcester, which there isn't a lot of crowds around that area. In Worcester itself, it's mostly suburbs around there. You wouldn't think it'd be like a big fighting type of area, but because of the Polish connection, and I guess there's Worcester County has one of the largest Polish populations in the whole eastern seaboard. So they had two Polish guys on the card, one of them being the world's strongest man guy there fighting Sylvia. Pujanowski, and they came to see him, and he got his ass kicked. But they were all there. They stayed right to the end too. Thousands and thousands of people, and there was just like a sea of red and white jerseys that were all Polish people. So
it was more like Warsaw.
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody else got that one. I thought of that pretty quickly. Somebody else had mentioned that it looked like a World Cup soccer game. But I mentioned that it was like Warsaw instead of Worcester.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, it was a good card. Butterbean got people from all over the world to show up, and it really showed you the difference between a local promotion and a major show. They had all the celebrities there, and Boss Rutten was doing the color commentary with somebody from Poland there, and
well, Vinny, big difference.
Huh?
Yeah, you're right. Big difference on just the draw of people from one to the other.
Right.
With the right people there. So.
Yeah, hopefully. That's just the same way the UFC go. They pretty much have done most of their shows in Vegas, where they're, not only their home, because the Fertittas own all the casinos out there, but the guy that they got for what his exact position is, but he's not the matchmaker, but Mark Ratner. He used to be the commissioner on out there in Vegas. Now he's working for the UFC. So, I mean, they pretty much got the ins and outs all covered out there in Vegas, but this is going to be a whole new thing for them to come to Massachusetts when it's brand new, newly regulated. And the guys at the fight that I was just at, the main commissioner comes up to one of the deputies right after the fight, and he's asking about what the guy used to stop the bleeding on his cut after the first round, because he said he didn't see it bleeding after that. They wanted to make sure he didn't use anything illegal on the cut. Now, they were looking at everything. Another fight, they had a decision. I went to decision, and the other kid won the fight. You know, it was hands down just a bogus decision. And, you know, I'd seen the kid that got the loss. I'd seen him fight some tough kids before. You know, and he didn't always win, you know, but he always fought his ass off, you know. So this time he fought his ass off and he should have won. And they gave it to the other kid. And I seen one of the commissioners go over to this guy, one of the judges, and he sat there for 5 minutes in his ear, talking in his ear. And you knew he was talking about that fight. It just ended. You know, what else could they be talking about? So I thought that was kind of weird, you know. Why would that be?
I don't know. I'd say not knowing, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, those little things, you know, a lot of these guys, too, the thing that they're having a problem with in Massachusetts is a lot of these guys are boxing, specifically boxing people. And this is their first entry into MMA.
Right, exactly.
They're kind of forced to do it.
Right, New Hampshire has kind of both, you know, some people with the experience of the MMA, so, you know, you get the knowledge of both of them.
Right. So there's a learning curve for a lot of these guys, and they're just kind of starting to figure it out, but it seemed like they definitely appreciated it, you know, they definitely treated it very professionally, and, you know, it kind of brought about the question for me about, you know, what is the big difference between regulation and not regulation? Obviously, you know, you have the commissioners and you have the board that's making all these decisions that you didn't have before. But from what I saw when I looked around, you know, all the same people that have been involved in some of the local shows are the same people at the major shows as far as the staff. You know, the referees are all the same. The judges, a lot of them are the same. So it kind of made me wonder, like, you know, if you're going to be a regulated state, maybe you should increase the number of officials you have that actually handle the shows. Because it seems to me like you get those people entrenched in there and you get problems, you know. I don't know about judges getting paid off or whatever, but you definitely have biased judges when you have a situation like that. And one of the fights I was just talking to Tony about before we got on was this guy they call the punching bag is his nickname, Jerry Spiegel. I don't know if you ever heard
of him. Yeah, he's like 13-30 or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's got just a lopsided record, but he loves to fight. You know, he goes there, he tries, he like gets knocked out a lot, but he takes a lot of damage. That's why he's called the punching bag.
Gotcha. He keeps going though.
So he was crazy. He was like, you know, getting crazy beat up, and the ref stopped the fight, and he was shaking his head after the fight, like, you know, you shouldn't have stopped it. And so one of the guys that I knew at the fight knew the ref, and he went up to the ref afterwards, and he was talking about it, and the ref said, well, you know, it's Jerry. What are you going to do? You know, I didn't stop it too late. I stopped it too early for him, you know. So when you know fighters that well as a referee, I mean, and you make decisions based on that rather than when you should stop a fight, I mean, I think that's kind of dangerous to be too familiar with some of this stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, you look at the UFC and, you know, how many times the same ref probably ref, you know, like a George St. Pierre or, you know, Ken Shamrock who's got that in fights or somebody. I mean, I'm sure they have. It's just, you know, it's their job. It's, you know, don't let it become a conflict of interest. I mean, you know, I mean, that's kind of sucks if that's what they're doing. But, you know, like you said, find a new ref.
Yeah.
Kevin McDonald does a great job. You know, I'm happy. You know, Kevin McDonald and Gary Foreman rep a lot of my fights, and that's why I actually, you know, that's what I want in there if I can get them. You know, because they're not favoring, they're not doing anything.
Right. Well, it's funny because at the big event, you know, you had both of those guys reffing. And then you got Herb Dean in there for the main event, and Herb Dean's a great ref. You know, I think he did a phenomenal job with the Rampage Jackson fight there versus Rashad Evans just by the way he broke them up at the right time. think it was great. But at this fight, the one thing he didn't catch was happening right away was Puchinowski was grabbing the fence, trying to hold Sylvia against the fence, and he just put his hands right into the fence. And I got it on my camera. You could see it for like at least 30 seconds. He's latching onto the fence, and Herb didn't catch it until, you know, I think Sylvia complained about it, but that was the only thing bad you could say about it. But he's a great ref, and he was there at this Massachusetts fight, so I think there's a shortage overall of, you know, officials everywhere, big-name officials and, you know, regular just local people that are, you know, that entrenched in the sport that they could be an official, because it's just one of those things where it's still growing as a sport. And you got a lot of fighters and a lot of teams and a lot of facilities, but some of the other stuff like refs and judges hasn't caught up.
Hey, for all the viewers, I mean, all your listeners need to know where to go to even get tickets to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the Metaverse US Center, it's going to be June 19th. The tickets are going to DBMMA.com. That's DBMMA.com. The tickets are
that June again? 19th. You got to speak into the phone. You're like fading in and out.
Really?
Yeah.
The tickets, DBMMA.com. And that's June 19th in Meadowbrook, U.S. Stadium Pavilion, Laconia Fight Week.
All right, and how many fights did you say you got lined up?
We have 15 bouts right now.
15,
all right. 15 bouts. Pro and amateur.
Nice. Well, we'll let you go. The game's starting. I'm sure you're going to be watching the Celtics beat on the Lakers here, so I'll be there at the event. And
right.
These guys live, I know I want to meet Calvin. We had him on the show and all his team. I'd like to meet those guys with that Knuckle Up program. They're doing a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're doing some good things down in Lawrence.
And
Lawrence, Mass.
I'm going to be up there early, too. So if you guys got any kind of thing going on, any function before the fight, I'd like to hang out and meet you beforehand if possible. So we'll be in touch for that. And, as we get closer to the event, whatever kind of promotion you need, I'll try to get that up on the blog for you. We get about 50,000 hits a day on the website, so that always helps.
Oh, okay, excellent. Well, I can. I do have your email, and I'll stay in contact with you. You know, thanks for the time, and again, you know, for the viewers, it's czmma.com for tickets.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by and chatting with us, and you have a good night.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
I'll talk to you later.
Celtics are losing already. 4-2.
Okay, I'm looking for a pretty much insurmountable lead, too.
You're right. Starting slow. Anyway, as far as boxing, I think we ran through all the major fights. So.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the heavyweight title fight last week.
Which one was that?
Anthony Klitschko.
Oh, what happened? I didn't even see.
Remember last week, Jim Bagg predicted that Albert Sosnowski would give Klitschko the fight of his life?
Oh, yeah?
Remember he said because, you know, he beat Danny Williams, and Danny Williams, you know, beat Mike Tyson, so Sosnowski was actually better than Mike Tyson? I remember because he said he once held an undefeated fighter to a draw, which means nobody else did as good as he did against that guy. Which so he basically said it'll be what?
$1,000 Walmart gift card. Another one.
Oh, good. We want another one. You better have split news with me. But Jim Bagg was predicting Sosnowski would bring the fight of his life.
Right.
He didn't. He took a beating. They said, you know, the first eight rounds are actually kind of slow, kind of plodding, kind of ponderous. Klitschko wasn't at his best, but he opened up in the ninth round, and he took him out in the tenth. They said he flattened him at one big punch. Referee waved it off without even giving a count.
Nice. Well, we have some MMA fights coming up this weekend. Course, as we always do. I believe there's a Strikeforce event. Not being delusional. Let's see. Yeah, maybe there isn't. I lied. Let's see. We got Fury Unleashed going on at the Chumash Casino Resort on the 4th. Is that tomorrow, the 4th? Yeah, that's tomorrow. We have Nations Collide going on in Honolulu, Hawaii. That's X1 is the promoter. AFL Rock and Rumble 3 is going on at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. Adrenaline from King of the Cage is going on in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Also, these are all on the 4th tomorrow. And Memorial Fight Qualifying is going on in Sao Paulo, Brazil, as well as E2 Fight Championship, both on Friday. And on Saturday, we have Demo Fight 4 from Bahia, Brazil. Sierra, Brazil, Champions Night 14 going on Saturday. And then if you're in South Wales, Australia, you can go to Cage Fighting Championships 14. Broomfield, Colorado is having another Ring of Fire event, Ring of Fire number 38, Ascension. And good old Milford, New Hampshire, which I don't think I've been to. Maybe I've been through it, but it doesn't sound familiar. It's having Inferno, TP2, whatever TP stands for. Tropical Punishment, no. Triumph Promotions.
I was going to say Tony Pacquiao.
Right.
That or toilet paper.
Passion Tour number 5 is going on Saturday in Tokyo, Japan. Jackson's MMA Series 1 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Saturday. Gold's Gym South Tokyo Annex is having SWAT 34 in Tokyo. Shooting Disco 12 is going on in Tokyo. Also, that's on Sunday, actually. SWAT 34 as well is on Sunday. Cage Impact 2010 in Osaka, Japan, going on Sunday, and Rio Mix Fight going on in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Then we have all the way to next Thursday, we got another Bellator Fighting Championships from the same Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino that's hosting another fight this weekend. So that's about it for the fights. Then we got, of course, the big next UFC fight, UFC 115, coming up next Saturday. That's Liddell versus Franklin. And we finally know why Tito Ortiz pulled out of the Chuck Liddell fight.
Why?
Because of neck surgery. Can you believe it?
Was Jenna slapping him around again?
No, actually, the Jenna thing was really swept under the rug. I haven't heard anything about it or what his criminal charges are going to be or what's going on with that and how the UFC is going to deal with that. Actually, Dana White has come out and said something to the effect of, you know, Tito and Chuck are still a possible fight. You know, it could still be made, so it could be a situation like this whole Rampage versus Rashad deal that just got postponed for an extra long time. But I'm pretty sure, you know, from the way they drop contracts, they make it really hard for you not to fulfill them. So, obviously it was in Rampage's contract to fight Evans. So regardless of whether he did the movie or not, and when he fought him, it was somewhere written in that contract that he had to fight him. One way or another, you know. So, whether they knew he was coming back or not, you know, it was definitely, they were either going to sue him to get him to fight, he was going to fight him anyway. He said he was going to fight him, and they didn't sue him because of that. But I'm pretty sure that because of that, they also would have made the next contract stronger so that Liddell and Tito couldn't back out if, you know, one of them was going to. Now that they did, you know, there's got to be a clause in there that says they have to fight later. Something like that happens where it's surgery. But it did seem like it was a big, serious issue. It wasn't like, you know, no delay. It was right away. They had the surgery. They posted a video of it online and everything. So if you like disgusting videos, you can check out Chuck Liddell's, no, Tito Ortiz's neck surgery. And I kind of had a feeling it was going to be something with Tito. And they played it up like it might be a fight on the show, but that was really not even a dust-up. Nobody even threw a punch. There was just a lot of guys yelling at each other, so that was nothing special. But the actual neck injury thing, you know, I guess he's had back problems before, Tito has, but nothing with the neck. So this was so bad, apparently it was causing his arms to go numb.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, but anyway, I didn't watch this week's to find out what else happened after the fact, but I'm assuming that because Chuck Liddell is now fighting Rich Franklin, that they brought Rich Franklin in to coach as well the last part of the season, but I'm not sure. I haven't watched it. Because I know that they were talking at the end of the last week's show that they were going to be getting rid of Tito as a coach as well because he couldn't function. Not just because he's getting the surgery, but he was like doing badly in training before that. They couldn't keep up with his own guys. But anyway, as far as other combat sports, I don't know. Not really much else to talk about.
Well, no, I mean, right now, you know, I guess that we already discussed the two local fights from this weekend, for me at least.
Forgot about the local fights I just went to. I still haven't done my ringside report yet. I'm going to be probably working on that tomorrow night. But actually, maybe I might even get to some of it tonight. Basically, we had KHFX 9. It was called Finally. And it was at the Plymouth Memorial Hall. They had been dealing with the regulatory commission, trying to hash some things out and figure some stuff out and, you know, get the venue situated properly. But they just picked a really bad night. Friday night was the last Celtics game there, you know, that they clinched it. So
that makes it tough.
You know, there were a lot of other things going on Friday night. Friday night was Friday night of Memorial Day weekend. Everybody was leaving to go to the Cape. You know, and
part of the reason I'm not able to go to either one of these fight cards tomorrow night is, you know, I mean, okay, there's a Flyer game on. Even the Stanley Cup Finals, I could miss a game. You know, I missed the one game. I was at another event a few weeks ago. I have, you know, my phone. I get updates, so that's not a big deal. But the problem is trying to get to Atlantic City because I wanted to go to the Chuck fight versus Ferrante. But the problem there was I can't get out of work early tomorrow. You know, I get kind of a shittier schedule. The earliest I could probably get out was 4, and the card starts, I think, like 7:30 or something like that, maybe 8. So it gives me a window of a couple hours. I mean, here's the problem. I wasn't sure which of my friends were going. I wasn't driving by myself all the way down because I have to come back tomorrow night. So I'm like, we have Phillies traffic. That's 45,000 people. We have Flyers traffic. There's 20,000 people. Now, a few weeks ago, I was headed down to South Philly on the night with the Phillies and Flyers game. It took me 2 hours to get from where I work to South Philadelphia, which is normally 45 minutes. Now, imagine taking that to the shore, because now you got Phillies traffic, Flyers traffic, and weekend shore traffic. I could literally see myself taking 3 to 3.5 hours to get down there. Then I got to turn around, because I got to work Friday morning, or Saturday morning, I should say, at 8 o'clock. So I was like, I wouldn't get home till about maybe 2:30 a.m. I'm like, that's going to be kind of stretching it. And then the flight card in Philly, even though I could get there, it still seemed to be being a pain in the ass. So I would have taken the turnpike down. So I think probably the best option for me is, you know, just, you know, kick back, keep relaxed, and then, you know, because I got to work Saturday morning.
I met a guy who actually went to my school, Norwich, graduated a few years after me, owns a mixed martial arts company, clothing company that sponsors fighters. And he goes to all these fights and pays for tickets usually. So he's got a good camera and he's got friends that always want to go. So I hooked him up with the press opportunity and now I got to ride anytime I want to go to an MMA fight. So That worked out well, so shout out to primeathletics.com. They got the big banner on our website as well now, too, so we're going to be doing a lot with them. And actually, the fights themselves, unfortunately, the guy that lost the main event that was in the books for months and months now, the Lee Bean versus Christian Moorcraft, we had both guys on the show, remember?
Yes, we did.
The heavyweights, they were undefeated. Well, Lee Bean was the guy that Sean Rockwell, the owner of Prime Athletics, sponsors, and he ended up losing the fight by tap out due to strikes there. But he latched onto a heel hook early on that his opponent said that, you know, it was so tight he was about to tap, he just barely squeezed out of it. So that kind of cost him some positioning, and the other guy was a pure slugger, so once he got the advantage on top, it was over. And it was kind of, ironically, very much like the Pujanowski tap out. You know, the guy was throwing right hooks, and then boom, tapped out. But anyway, Lee is going to be back, I'm sure. He was definitely winning the fight. Actually, one of the judges came up to Lee after the fight in the parking lot and said, you know, I had you win in the first round until that happened. But what can you do? You know, you win some, you lose some. He'll learn from it, I'm sure. Christian Moorcraft, I mean, he's one of those type of guys. He doesn't look like much. He looks like he's got the physique of like a Matt Mitrione, but he can fight. He can definitely throw some bombs. He's got some power in those hands. So he's going to be interesting to watch. The co-main event was actually the Jerry the Punching Bag Spiegel match versus Mark Griffin. And that was very interesting. You know, this kid, he calls himself the Punching Bag, and it's funny because beforehand they give the little speeches, each fighter, and they put them on the big screen, and you know, Mark Griffin gets up there and he's like, you know, I'm sick of all these guys that go to these MMA events, they think they're fighters because they wear a tap out shirt and they call themselves the Punching Bag. He goes, this is exactly what I'm going to do to this guy. I'm going to treat him like a punching bag. And I've been to a lot of MMA fights and I've heard of a lot of shots being landed from cage side. And at this fight, I was a little away from the cage. I was like near the front wall of the pit area, because it's like a hall seating, and it's like stadium seating inside the hall, so it all goes up. So there's like a little pit area, and then there's little balconies all the way up. But anyway, I'm against the back wall in the front there, and he's landing these shots on Jerry's ribs that are just thudding shots, like unbelievably hard shots landing, and you know, it must have broken a rib or something the way he was hitting them. But I saw actually Jerry after the fight, he looked pretty decent. He had two black eyes already, but he didn't look like he was hobbling, you know, so maybe he's got some bruised ribs. But anyway, he lost, but he put up a decent fight before he lost. And Mark just looks like a horse. I mean, he's been working out like crazy. And he's in great shape, and he had a tough loss his last fight out in the same circuit. He got cut open with some elbows, and that was the end of the story. The ref stopped the fight even though he was winning. So this was good to see him bounce back. Now that I have a sort of a personal connection with him, too. We also had some other fights on that card that... Fortunately, I don't have the whole card in front of me. But there was a pretty interesting fight right off the bat. These two kids went at it for three full rounds, and then most of the night there was knockouts and quick endings. But the first fight was pretty interesting. Both kids back and forth, and that was the one where the commissioner came up and said something to the deputy about the guy closing the cut so fast. And there was a couple of light guys. Nobody really bled that much after that, that they couldn't just wipe off and let it go. So that's kind of funny. But the commissioners were definitely had that place on lockdown. Nothing was getting by them. let's see. Well, I don't know. Do you have any other observations there from the combat sports world?
Well, it's kind of hard for me right now because you know, my computers have been so funky. It's hard for me to get on BoxRec, and it's hard for me to really look at the schedule with you and use my Rain Man abilities. I mean, like, a lot of times, you know, we look at these, you know, these fights coming up. Like I said, there's a fight card in Philadelphia tomorrow night. I've probably seen about, or know, 50% of the fighters on that card, at least. I know a good friend of mine, Dangerous Darrell's on the card, so I want to give him a shout-out, wish him good luck tomorrow night. He fights out of, you know, my old gym, the Marian Anderson Rec Center. And also, speaking of Marian Anderson, Rich, I know I emailed you yesterday that I wanted to pay a quick tribute tonight to a friend and a trainer down there that passed away, 84 years old. We all called him Muncie. I didn't know him well. He came there more during the later stages of me being down Marian Anderson. I had been down Marian Anderson for about a good 6-7 years straight. And he started coming around more around 2000. There was one trainer down there was bringing a few guys in. This guy, we called him Beach. Mr. Charles is what I always called him. And he was bringing in guys like Willie the Gladiator Gibbs and this kid Dangerous Darrell and Hammering Hank Lundy. Beach was training him for a while. So there was this older guy there, and he was always there. He was always sitting on the back bench, never said much. He was just always watching. He was always listening. And if you wanted to talk to him, he was always very engaging to you, very soft-spoken gentleman. And so I saw him at a fight card a few years ago. I said hi to him. You know, he recognized me from Marian Anderson. And I come to find out the other day that he had a stroke a couple years ago and passed away at the age of 84. And, you know, it gets to be amazing that a guy that you saw every day sitting on the back of back bench at his gym, just because he loved boxing so much, and you don't realize who he really was. He was one of the co-trainers and advisors for Sonny Liston. And, yeah, so I don't know if you had you know, seen the article I sent you. It was written originally back in 07, you know, before he passed away. So when I read the, I saw my friend Dangerous Darrell on Facebook saying, "Rest in peace, Muncie," and I was like, "Oh, I wonder what that's about." And then I didn't hear any more, and then I got this article from George Hansen, and it was saying, like, the passing of, but then I read the article, and I'm like, no, it sounds like he's alive and well. Then I read the full email before the article, and it said, no, this was written back in 07. He lost his, you know, his battle the other day, and his funeral's tomorrow. It's sad because he was like one of the really good guys at boxing, and you know, I know he's going to be watching over Dangerous Darrell tomorrow night, and you know, boxing lost one of the good guys.
Yeah, it sucks. I'll have to read about him. Sounds like an interesting story. But anyway, I can't see really much else to get out there at this point. I know I got a lot to throw up on the blog there, so for some updates later tonight. I'm just going to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Discipline, DISSIPLINE.com. We've got Redux Beverages, Propane Energy Drink. Get some of that going on our Ring Girls pretty soon here, the last contest winners. We've got that contest page coming up again, voting page coming up pretty soon, this weekend maybe, if I get to it.
I got one, Rich, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to send you a Facebook profile because I want you to befriend this person. She's big into boxing and MMA.
She's got to friend me because I can't friend anybody else. I'm too popular.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I hate to admit it. They have fucking 4,000 friends, and they say it's too much, so I can't add any more.
So what happens is that they have to request you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, let me see what I can do. Damn it, Rich, you make everything difficult.
Well, I could use my other profiles. so. Just send it. Send the link, and I'll figure it out.
All right. Well, it's something hard to make everything difficult.
Yeah. Wow. That's the way I do it. Anyway, yeah, the big event, June 19th, up there at Meadowbrook. If you want to go, the tickets are available at CZ, the letter C, the letter Z, MMA.com, Combat Zone. That's their website. I'm sure you could also call Meadowbrook up there, Meadowbrook Musical Arts Center in Guilford, New Hampshire. I'm sure they must have tickets through them. To find out what the seating availability is as well, and you know where the seats will be according to the ring. That'd be nice from them. Other than that, it's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's at night. I don't know the exact time. It's going to be in the afternoon or at night, but it's an outdoor venue. It's going to be nice. I know I haven't been there in at least 5 years. And when I was there, it was nice, and they were doing a ton of improvements, so it's going to be even nicer. And I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to go back and see if all the same people are there. And we'll do a big cage side report, of course, after the fact. Get a ton of video, and I'll have some stuff up from this last CageFX9 from down here last Friday by this weekend, so a week late, but it will still be good content because I got pretty much all the fights on tape, or at least a portion of them. So look for that stuff, and until next week when we're going to be working on Herb Dean. I tried to get Herb Dean this week, but he was too popular, like me on Facebook.
Well, you know, and people aren't as cool as us.
He did say that you got to text him, so maybe that's the magic way to get him. You got to text him. But he also could have been busy.
Of course. Oh, whoa. You know, whoop-de-doo here, you know. But I also want to give a special shout out to a very important person. You know who that is, Rich?
Who?
Myself.
Oh, there you go.
I want to give a shout out to myself because I just want to let everybody know that I still got the Iron Man streak going.
Nice.
Have not missed a show in how long now? What has it been? 2.5 years?
Yeah. We've only
I think I'm celebrating. It was like, yeah, because I started the second week of January in 2008. Still going strong. That's why I'm the tornado.
I was a co-host.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And, you know, one of these days we're going to have to, like, get a satellite show or something because we're going to have so much to put on
that
the
would be, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That way all these people listening can see my beautiful face. The only problem with satellite show is, like, sometimes, like, if I don't have my computer, where I'm like, you know, like tonight, I'm on another computer, but it's a pain in the ass to use. So I did part of the show outside, throwing the ball for my dog, you know, because I wanted him out, you know, before cause it's about to start pouring here. So I wanted to get him out, running around and getting his business done before, you know, I lock him up for the night. And then, you know, I need to move around sometimes. I'm going to admit to you now, Rich, I've done this show while sitting on the toilet. I actually,
I did it in a bathroom out of a hotel once on a laptop.
I remember that, at the Best Western. I've done the show, actually, I answered the call one time and did my introductions while getting out of the shower. I've done this on watching numerous Philadelphia sporting events, Phillies, Flyers, Eagles preseason games, the night Michael Vick got signed. I'll never forget that one. I was visibly distracted, as he said.
Right.
Michael Vick. Watching the fights. We've done live broadcasts of the fights. We've done a lot of good things.
Yeah,
you know,
I couldn't believe you would be the one to remind me that they had interviewed Ken Shamrock.
That's right.
My go-to guy that I would always say, well, I interviewed him.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like when people talk to me, I think we've interviewed a lot of like really good guys. We've interviewed a spectrum of guys. We've talked to guys that were, you know, up and coming, guys that maybe were amateurs and get ready to embark on their pro career. We've interviewed people that are just fans. Maybe they never fought, but they're people that would give a unique perspective to the sport. We've interviewed journalists. But then it got to the point where it was like, people always ask me, well, name some of the guys you've interviewed. Well, you want to get them with the really big names you've gotten. So I always throw out the names, you know, Ken Shamrock, Vinny Paz, Lou Duva, Butterbean. And we, like I said, we've got a lot of really good guys on here. We've had world champions. Simon Carr was a really, Steve USS Cunningham, cruiserweight champion of the world when we interviewed him. That was a big feather in our cap. We've had past legends like Joey Giambra. We've talked to a lot of really good guys from all over the country, and even guys from outside of the country.
And girls.
We've talked to girls, absolutely. We even talked to Laura, the girl that I train, who just graduated from college. Congratulations. I hope you do well in your new job that you just got. If you ever want to pick up the gloves again, start fighting, let me know. But, I mean, that's people will sometimes ask me, well, what do you get out of this? Is this ever going to be a full-time gig for you? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, you never know. I mean, you never know. I mean, somebody stumbles upon it the right way. You never know. I actually was Googling myself a few weeks ago just for the hell of it. And I stumbled. Yeah, no. I put my name in Google just to see, and it was like a lot of stuff comes up, or like articles I've written, you know, it'll come up under like Unlimited Fight News. It'll say like Tony Pacquiao's Manny Pacquiao versus, you know, Miguel Cotto preview, or Shane Mosley versus Floyd Mayweather preview. So a lot of that stuff's out there. Then I found some old college articles and, you know, fun stuff like that. But then I also found some stuff on other boxing websites. And the one, and I'm sorry, Rich, that you didn't get any you know, credit for this, but a guy actually wrote on there some of his some of his favorite boxing, you know, sites and stuff like that. And the one guy said, Tony Pacquiao's UnlimitedFightNews.com talk show. I was like, oh, Rich just got dissed. But that's big for me. And people say, well, what do you get out of it, man? And I'm like, I get the opportunity to talk to people in the sport that I love, that I grew up on. That, you know, if you don't enjoy doing something, don't do it. That's the thing. Like, if I didn't enjoy doing this, you wouldn't have kept me on here for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And now the shame of it is, you know, I am really
to be able to take a back seat to with the boxing, because I used to have to be more onto it than I am now. You know, now I can just kind of put it on autopilot and get the Rain Man on the job.
Right. Well, I know Holly wasn't really
so
into the boxing.
In MMA, though, since we started, it's kind of shocking to me sometimes when I try to watch a boxing match and I can't do it.
Oh, Rich, you just got yelled at. Hold on.
Who's yelling at?
You just got yelled at. I just got an email saying, get back online, meaning me, because I was on Facebook chat a while ago, and then stop rustling all those papers. Well, that's you, Rich. I don't have any papers. And if I did, I sure as hell wouldn't be rustling them.
Oh, it's just my microphone is all screwy. It picks up everything. And I haven't been rustling papers unless it was opening my cough drop that they heard.
Awesome. It's fucking June.
We've got pollen in the air in here. Like crazy. Anyway. Yeah, it has been a great ride. It's been, you know, a couple of years at least, right? Have you been doing this?
Well, I joined Fighters Unlimited very beginning of 2007. I wrote my first article on a Blue Horizon card, Max Alexander, who was on the 1 year the contender, versus the guy, I don't remember the guy's real name, but we called him, his name was the Wolfman. And I remember writing the article, and I was just writing it almost as like a test, because I hadn't written in so long. And I remember I sent it to you just to get your feedback on it. Next thing I know, it was being posted on a MySpace account. And it was being posted on like the MySpace, whatever it was. I was like, oh my God, he posted it. So I started sending it to a few people, and they were like, yeah, it was pretty good, but it was like, it didn't have a flow to it. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, get my rhythm back. And I remember writing some articles
later during the fight, and I remember people saying, yeah, it flows better, it's not as herky-jerky, it's, you know, it's an easier read. And I was like, well, okay, that's good.
I think, you're like the last person that we have that actually promotes his own stuff. You know, like, everything now that I do is like on autopilot. So I hardly even get comments on most of the stuff unless it's a real controversial thing. But those are always
it's kind of a shame that I don't get to write as much as I did when I first started.
I would be writing like crazy about the Zions thing if I could too. You know, you gotta have the.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, with me, it was like when I first started, I was really, really trying to, you know, get as much code. Like I would write an editorial. Like I remember writing articles like when Nikolai Valuev lost his first fight, and he was like 46-1. It was like, oh my God, the ghost of Rocky Marciano struck again, and I broke down every fighter that came after Marciano that was undefeated when they won the heavyweight title, and how they fell short of that 49-0, how it happened and why it happened, and I was like, I'd write anything I could. But remember, I was at a job at the time that was very slow, and it got slower over the last 2 years I was there. So the last 2 years I was there, I was going to work. I had nothing else to do. I'm like, well, okay, I'm gonna write something about boxing. I wrote my Arturo Gatti tribute, the original, and Rich, you sound hot, by the way. That's not me saying that. That's an email I just got.
Like a whole group listening? What is this?
Yeah. but I wrote my Arturo Gatti tribute, the original, when he retired back in 07, while I was, was that 08 that he retired? 07 or 08. While I was at work, I wrote it there. But now it's kind of hard. I'm at another job. I'm working even longer hours, and I just don't get a chance to write as much as I used to. But when there's a big fight coming up, I'm going to do that statistical breakdown. I'll tell you, there's nothing really more that I enjoyed than doing the breakdowns of fights and to see how our results come out.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking the other day that you kind of stole my mojo. Because I used to be the guy that would predict all the boxing matches, and I was getting them, a lot of them, right. And then you stepped in and started doing it, and I just started going to MMA. Now I'm starting to try to pick the MMA fights, and I'm lousy at it. I lost the touch.
The reason I did it for the first time is when I first started with you in the early part of 07, the first really big fight that came up that year was the De La Hoya Mayweather fight. And that was a huge deal. And everybody was talking about it. I was like, wow, you know, because so I was at a fight and I started interviewing people while I was there, like, you know, fighters, referees, managers, cut men, anybody I could see, just spectators. Who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's going to win? And people saying, well, I think Mayweather's going to win. He's too fast. Or De La Hoya's going to win. You know, Mayweather's never fought a guy like him before. And people were talking. So I was like, I was going to write an article with the consensus of what people were saying. And then I said, you know what? Instead of doing that, why don't I do a statistical breakdown? Break down their strengths, their weaknesses, their styles, and let's see what's going to happen. So, and the first one that I predicted, I was wrong on. But the way it happened is the first 8 rounds, I called almost 100% correct. It was De La Hoya stopped. If he would have kept up what he was doing, he had a good chance to win that fight by knockout. He just stopped. And so then I felt like the need to cover myself. So I wrote an article on why the fight ended up the way it did and with De La Hoya's excuses for not using his jab acceptable. And that was a way of covering my own ass. But I enjoyed doing it so much. And I came up with that format that honestly I got kind of out of like a Ring magazine. I remember they'd always do like two fighters and they would kind of break down everything. What's their style? What's their strengths? What's their weaknesses? You know, what's their quality of opposition? So I turned that around and said, no, what were their best fights? And now I added a little bit for the Mayweather-Mosley fight. I put, what are the keys to victory? What does each fighter need to do to be successful? Because I think that I lacked that in some of my other articles. So I would write like, oh, so-and-so is going to do this and do this. Well, you got to mention why that would be a key for them to win. With Mosley, I said, for him to win that fight, he's got to jab hard and to the body and to the torso.
which he didn't do. That's why he wasn't able to back Mayweather up after that second round. So that's how I'm like, each time I would do it, I would develop a little bit more. And I enjoyed doing the historical perspective when I was doing fantasy dream fights, taking guys like Tyson versus Frazier, Marciano versus Dempsey, Hopkins versus Monzon, and et cetera. But one thing that I ended up not, I mean, hey, it brought great discussion. Like, people agreed, people disagreed. But the only problem was, you never got to see what would happen. Like, when I pick Mosley and Mayweather, I wrote that prediction, guess what? 2 weeks later, or a week later, you're going to see if I was right on the button. I write Rocky Marciano knocks out Jack Dempsey in 8 rounds. Well, guess what? I have no way of proving that would ever happen. That's just my prediction. And that's, you know, hey, it garnered great discussion on a lot of them, but I missed the would I be right? Is that how it would happen? And let's see how my prediction would hold up. That's why I kind of got away from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it has been pretty interesting times, especially, the weather's here, is that what you said?
No, I said your buddy is here.
My buddy? Who's that?
Yeah.
Wolfinator?
Vinny.
The Wolfinator?
Yeah.
Remember that guy? Speaking of interesting times.
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah,
the
idiot.
Wolfinator.
But, no, your buddy Vinny just stopped in.
Yeah, there you go. He's good. Is he being a good dog?
Oh, he's being good tonight. I had him out running a little bit ago.
All right. Yeah, well, we're going to try to do as much as we can with this little show and, you know, step it up if we can. I know that I'm going to be doing more of my own type of work as soon as possible with this Refresh project. I'm trying to get $50,000 for my nonprofit so I can spend a lot of time and money developing that and a business around it. And I can also, you know, gain some experience on how to run the fight news business as well, because a lot of times I don't treat it like a business. I just treat it like a website. You know, that's it. That's something that could make a lot of money if I had a business mind to it. But hey, you know, I gotta keep it popular. Half the time is hard enough. So I gotta take my time with it and just make sure I don't screw it up half the time. And you know, down the line we'll see. You know, we'll get some big sponsors and. Definitely, the radio show itself is probably the best commodity that we have in the long run, because if we get
some kind of
contract out of, you know, doing that, or if we can get some kind of a huge sponsor, that's what they would want, is a successful radio show to be on. You know? So, that's something to think about. Let's see what's the latest thing. It's just, the internet changes so fast, it's hard to keep up with the latest trends. And even the regular trends that we know about, the Facebooks and the MySpace and the Twitters, you know, it's getting hard for me to find time to put into marketing myself on those. And now that the package that I have is to the point where if we get over 100,000 hits a day, I'm paying some major bucks hosting once I change my package, you know. So I gotta always be aware of that type of stuff. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but it's worth it in the long run, like you said, you know, just to be there sometimes at these events and to talk to people, to be recognized even is nice, you know. When I asked Butterbean the question there at the press conference after that last big event there in Massachusetts, it was kind of an honor to just have Bob Trieger recognize me from across the room and say, "Hey, Rich." I just showed up to enough events, they know who I am. And it's funny, like, I got so many press passes in these different MMA events, and they don't have very good security, you know, especially if you like you're wearing a nice outfit. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of press credential you have on, but if you're wearing a nice outfit, this one guy who's wearing a tuxedo said, you know, "I just wear a suit or a tuxedo." They never even card me, you know, they never even bothered to stop me. He doesn't even have his press pass on, you know, he's like talking like that.
I still got the first press pass I got when I went to a fight a couple years ago. You know, it says Tony Pennington at Fight News Unlimited. I actually should scan it and post it on my Facebook page and send it to you.
Yeah.
But another reason, and this is serious, when, and you were talking about, like, you know, promoting, you know, a lot of your own stuff, and, I mean, I'm proud of pretty much everything I write. Some of my stuff can be good, some of my stuff maybe is not as good. Doesn't matter. If I write it, I wanted to get in, you know, to people's hands, just because I know a lot of my friends that are fight fans. You know, they like to really get into it. So, especially when I do one of my preview prediction articles, you know, I know a lot of people like them. They like to debate on and find out if what I said happened is going to happen. So, like I said, I send it to a bunch of my friends. I send them the link in an email. After I do that, I'll post it on my MySpace account, which I still have active. I'll post it on my Facebook account. And I just want, you know, people to read it. I'll send it to other people on Facebook. You know, hey, check this out. If you like it, post it on your site. I don't care. Any exposure I can get, you know, for myself and for the site is a good thing. I mean, because you never know. If it gets in the right hands, you never know. People might, you know, one day say, you know, these two guys are so idiotic. They're like the Beavis and Butthead of Fight News talk. Let's give them a satellite show and just let them talk shit for 2 hours.
Well, that's the other thing too. Is once we get a few more big, huge names and, you know, a regular cycle of guests. Once I'm on the ball enough to not miss a week and always have a good guest or one or two guests every week too, that sort of makes the show as well. I know I can get those people. It's just a matter of being persistent every day and getting it done. So I'm going to work on that this summer, hopefully. Get that done.
Yeah,
We've got
some people that we definitely want to revisit. I got an email today that our good friend Hank Lundy is going to be on ESPN Friday, July 9th, fighting the main event, defending the title he just won.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to him again, seeing
as
I've seen him fight live, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like I said, what I could start really, because my schedule right now is so screwed up. I'm kind of the new guy at the job, so I don't have much of a chance, you know, to call my own shot to get out early or anything. That hurts my ability to get to some of these live fights, because for the other times, I don't get home till 6:30. The fight card starts at 7. I'm not going to get there in time, because it takes me 45 minutes to an hour to get to a lot of these places. And so it's just kind of screwing me up. But hopefully come next year, I mean, if I'm still there and I have some seniority, I can say, yo, put this other schmuck in the shitty spot and let me get out early so I can, you know, go cover these fights, do something I enjoy.
Right. All right, well, until next week, we're going to sign off here. And we're going to work on Herb Dean over the next week and whoever else we can get, maybe two guests for next week. At least one.
Yeah, I still want to get Steve on the line just so we can talk shit. And actually, I did talk to him a few weeks ago at a fight card. Actually, it was about a month ago now. My good friend Simon Carr, who was the first guest I ever booked for the show. It was the second show I did, and I got him on as guest. And he was pretty good. He's a very talkative guy. We'll have to keep him to the two-hour time limit. But he's doing a fight clothing wear line now, and I'd like to get him on there to talk about it, and, you know, he can always give up some interesting fight tidbits. And you know who else we need to get back on? We need to get back on Larry, the ring announcer.
Larry? All right, we'll make a list. We'll
check
everyone out when we have to. But,
yeah, we got to, like, some of our past guys, we got to get back on. Some of the guys that were really good that we haven't talked to in a year or two.
Yeah.
That way we can mix them in with our new blood, some of the new guys we're getting. And you know, we'll just keep fresh conversations every week. Can't hurt.
Another guy I'd love to get back on is Ryan Sungalia.
Oh, Ryan was great.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot more good stuff too. I get his Facebook messages all the time.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him. I was actually on MySpace, and I got to get him on Facebook. Have you talked to Yano lately?
No, that's another one. I haven't even gotten any knockout publicity stuff from him forever.
Yeah, we should try to get him back on. He was always good for a conversation.
Yeah.
Sometimes controversial, but that's not always a bad thing.
Yes. All right, well, we got 2 minutes here left in the show.
Well, this is your boy, the Tornado. I'm signing out. Going to get the bed early tonight.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, folks, and, you know, we'll definitely have some powerhouse guests for you, and we'll get the word out beforehand for next week's show. And don't forget to go to that acting event up there in New Hampshire.
Our faithful listener, the little Tasmanian devil out there. See you later, Double T.
Adios.
All right, Rich. Tornado signing out for this week. I'll talk to you next week.